here on Downtown, and it's time to debut one of our brand new segments, something we've been talking about and promoting here on the show for a little while, and something we're very excited. It's Shut Up and Eat, featuring Joe Riccio, and we'll meet Joe here in just a moment, but want to let you know that this segment is presented by Nocturnum Drafthouse in Bangor, Finback Alehouse, and Blaze in Bangor as well. And before we bring Joe onto the program, because this is going to be a fun segment, and I can't wait for you to hear it, we're going to talk to Ryan Waning, because he's built and nurtured a relationship with Joe for a long time. When did you meet Joe for the first time, and can you recall that a little bit?
I don't remember the exact date, and honestly, the exact what happened the first time we met. Being comedians, it's you can put all that stuff into the wind trying to remember details of things like that. But I remember seeing Joe on stage the first time and remember wishing that I had that kind of charisma to get away with saying anything and doing anything and still having people love me after the fact. Because you, Stack, have seen me do stand-up, and sometimes I can say things that make people not like me. So I always respected Joe for that. But we've kept in touch over the years as he's been in and out of stand-up, myself as well. And I've just been amazed at his arc of the things that he can do as far as with the Food Coma TV, which we'll talk about in this segment, with all the stuff with magazines, the food critiquing, all the stuff, the shenanigans that he gets into. I've always been a super fan, so I'm pretty excited.
And Joe now joins us here in studio. Hey. Joe, let's talk about some of the credentials.
Yes.
Comedian, of course, but you've been doing some great stuff in terms of writing about food and posting pictures. And just tell us about the scope of what you've been able to do.
I have. Yeah, I have been writing about food, kind of documenting it. I was actually more curious about Ryan, when did you start nurturing me?
I don't remember.
I don't recall the exact moment.
No, we weren't. Yeah, it wasn't really a breastfeeding kind of thing.
It was like a mother bird feeding her young kind of situation.
Oh, I totally chew your food for
you. I mean,
you.
Didn't it evolve into the... I mean, let's not go down that road. Probably not a good start move to go into, but...
But birds feeding each other? You know.
Well, maybe the form rather than the latter.
Well, if you could see Ryan and I, it would make more sense.
Okay, I need to get that visual out of my head.
We're going to need a big nest.
Yeah, a very big nest. But yeah, so I write about food. I'm the food editor for Down East Magazine and Dispatch Magazine. And I had a food. I've had a few web series about food, most notably Food Coma TV, which Ryan was talking about. Which actually we shot our first episode here in Bangor.
Oh, very nice.
Which was amazing, and we wanted to show the world that it's more than just dice arts and bath salts.
So, talk to us a little bit about the arc that Food Coma had. I mean, first it was a blog, and then it was like a web series, and then
it started out kind of documenting the excess. You know, I figured. Just in case something happens, I might as well leave some stories behind. And then it became, I teamed up with a producer, Alex Steed, and it became a video project, which developed into a few other shows. And then eventually I had signed a deal with a company in Los Angeles. I on Twitter randomly heard from this guy who was like, I'm a TV producer. And I was like, of course you are. But then I looked him up and I'm like, no, he actually is. He works with Mark Wahlberg and his reality
that?
TV. Yeah. So I signed a contract with them, and they pitched a version of Food Coma where I would go to 12 different cities around the world and stay up for 24 straight hours eating and drinking. And so it was sort of like Dave Attell meets Anthony Bourdain kind of deal.
Yeah, like a little Insomniac action.
Right. Like I wouldn't only be eating and drinking. I'd be doing the whole random mundane
debaucherizing.
Yes, debaucherizing, or maybe just, you know, seeing how janitors work at 4 in the morning. I don't know. I don't know how it would have went. But anyway, we pitched that. We were in talks with a lot of networks, and then it just, you know, I was on the sidelines, and I just watched it kind of go nowhere. But it was exciting watching it go nowhere.
So what are we going to do next? Like, we have this segment that we're going to talk about all the different types of food and the different types of angles that you do things in the restaurant business. But why don't we start out? Let's talk about you had an idea that you floated called Juggalo Chef, and I'm really curious about it.
Well, exactly, and I don't, you know, I pitched it to Relativity. Nobody is as excited about Juggalo Chef as I am.
I'm pretty excited about it, personally.
Right.
I mean, think
Food
it's pretty
TV,
cool.
What the world needs now is Juggalo Chef.
Absolutely. We've had everything else. Why not the natural progression to the Juggalos?
Yeah. We need to show people that, you know, filming people going out to eat can only be so exciting. Now, when you bring the Juggalos into the mix, and besides, they have, and, you know, they already have the Chinese style chef knife as part of their whole getup, so it makes perfect sense to me.
So, do you watch any of that Food Network stuff? Is there anything that you do like among it?
No, because every time I watch it, I end up with broken things in my apartment because something makes me angry inevitably. Whether it's a commercial about IHOP's artisan French toast or basically any show. I've actually kind of been over food TV since I watched Tom Hanks eat the caviar on Big and wipe it off his tongue with the napkin. One of my favorite things. That's what started my affair with caviar.
Very nice. So what else will we be talking about, just to give a little bit of an overview on this segment throughout the next couple of weeks and months here on the program, just so we get a little taste?
Yeah, I mean, the show is called Shut Up and Eat, because I feel that a lot of people forget that's what you're supposed to do with the food when they get it. It's become so overblown and hyped up, and I think it's reached a point of ridiculousness that it's worth, exploring that, all of, the rise of the foodie, mm-hmm. if you will, and why that's a bad thing, and, hopefully predicting the fall of the foodie.
And it's not just about high-priced restaurants or a place with a good reputation. You can get good food wherever you go, as long as you know where to go.
Well, exactly. And the key to good food is just not overthinking the food. You know, so many people, they build it up, and the ego is involved, and then they just serve a subpar product, and that makes you even angrier, than just straight up getting bad food.
Some great insight, as always, Joe. We really appreciate it. We're looking forward to continuing these conversations over the next couple of weeks. This is just number one, so I'm sure things are going to get even better as we go through.
That's what I hope. I want to make you hungry on your way home.
And hey, remember, put on your bib, get that fork, get that knife, and shut up and eat.
That's right. That's a message. That's from your family.